Good morning, everyone. We have two Bible readings this morning. The first one is from Psalm 118, Psalm 118, verses 1 to 7. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. Now let's read our sermon passage for this morning from Hebrews 13. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burnt outside the camp. And so, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact, I have written to you quite briefly. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all.
Thanks, Esther. And good morning again, everyone. Welcome. And if you are visiting us this morning, as I said before, great to have you with us and a very warm welcome to you. If you could keep your leaflets open there at Hebrews chapter 13 or your Bibles, that'd be great as we take a close look at those verses. Let me lead us in prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would calm our thoughts and our minds this morning as we consider your words to us. And we ask that you would show your truths to us through them this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to admit something to you all that's a little bit embarrassing, but I'm going to admit it anyway, and that is that I once got lost on Anstey's Hill. You can laugh. It's a little bit embarrassing to say it, but my daughter and I, a little while ago, we went for a run at dusk. We went up Anstey's Hill, the sun went down, got quite dark, as it does, and we just could not find the track that we'd came up on. So we wandered around for ages and ages, and at one point, I do remember us discussing, it looks like we might end up spending the night here, until finally we found a road, we knew where we were, we called my wife and she came and rescued us. It's quite embarrassing. But I remember the feeling, it's a terrible feeling, isn't it, to be lost like that anywhere. You know, just feeling hopeless, not knowing which way to go, no idea how it's all going to end. It's awful, that feeling. And I remember it well from that night. But you can be lost, of course, far worse than being lost on Anstey's Hill in the dark, can't you? I mean, geographically lost anywhere, I mean, that can be pretty bad. But what about being lost in life? Lost in life. There's not much worse than that. You know, not knowing where your life's going. That's awful. No direction, no meaning, no purpose. That's soul-destroying. And actually, you just look around our society, the landscape of our society is littered with the evidence of that, isn't it? Discontentment, disappointment, demotivation. We have lots of advertising and messaging on how to find direction, like the end of this video. Let me just show you this just quickly.
There are no grand celebrations here. No speeches, no bright lights. But there are great benefits. Somehow we've come to believe the greatness is a celebration to you. For a superstar. The truth is, greatness is for all of us. This is not about our own expectations. What it's about raising every last one of us. This is not in one special place. There is not in one special person. Greatness is wherever someone is trying to find it.
Now, I'm not knocking the message out of that video. It's a very positive message. It really is. But we are surrounded by that sort of messaging, aren't we? That, you know, greatness is where you're trying to find it. You know, greatness is in you. That it's about raising expectations is what that advert said. Now, there is a really positive thing in that sort of messaging for sure. But even if we do find some direction in life that way, we're bound to be let down at some point, right? Because in that case, it's all coming from me. And I doubt I can meet all of my own expectations, let alone meet them with all the things that go on around me that I can't control. We're bound to be let down at some point. And no doubt many of us have probably experienced that. But the end of Hebrews chapter 12, it presents us with something so much better than that. Something so much better. Something that gives real meaning, real purpose, and real direction without ever letting us down. If you remember last week, chapter 12, verse 22, at the end of the chapter, it says, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant." Did you notice there it says, "You have come"? Through faith in Jesus, we're already brought to God. Do you see in this, there's this sense that we are already part of God's city. Not fully and finally there until the last day, but through Jesus, we have direction. And that direction is directly towards His kingdom. It's the city of God. And I tell you, that just changes everything when you have that. It brings identity, it brings meaning, it gives purpose. As it says in verse 28 of chapter 12, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. That word there, worship, in the original language, it also means serve. It has this sense of serving, right? Saying that since we're part of this kingdom, let us serve God properly. And that's what this final chapter of Hebrews is all about. What does it look like to serve God, to live for God in His unshakable kingdom, which will never change and which will never let us down? I don't know what thoughts you have when I say the word serve. You know, when we say the word serve, it might sound like slavery, but it's the opposite, actually. It's true freedom. It's true freedom. Serving the Lord in His kingdom, it's to be exactly who we were meant to be, with all the identity and meaning and purpose that we could ever want, existing with each other perfectly, serving with perfect love in perfect community with our perfect God. And it's all possible because of the sacrifice of Jesus. If you look at chapter 13 with me and go to verse 12, it's all possible because of what it says there. He bled and died to pay for our sin. He did that to make us clean and to set us aside as a people of God. See, that's the only way that we can be part of the holy God city. It's by being made right with God, by being made holy. And that happens through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus for you. It's what we were just celebrating with the Lord's Supper. That's the way that God can say the price for your sin is paid. And the penalty for ignoring Him, all the things that come from that, no matter what it is, all that, it's forgiven through faith that Jesus bled and died for you to bring you to God. And the city that gets mentioned there in verse 14, see, this city, it's a picture of restoration. It's this magnificent picture of how Jesus puts things back to the way they were supposed to be. This perfect city, filled with people in a perfect relationship with their Creator and with each other. Doesn't that sound like heaven? Because it is. And so says the author of Hebrews there in verse 13, let's go to Him. He's urging the original readers of this letter not to go back to the old Jewish ways of the law, the old law, the ways of Moses in the desert, where there was a camp of God's people with a tent of meeting and the ark, symbolizing God's presence with them in the middle. The author's saying, don't go back to that. Don't go back to that. It might be comfortable to go back to the old ways. Probably it relieves the persecution because Judaism was a permitted religion in their time. The author says, don't go back there to all the animal sacrifices that had to be made over and over again for sin. Don't go there. Go to Jesus, the one who sacrificed Himself, who made all that, all those other things redundant to bring you once and for all to God. And Jesus was shamed and disgraced in His time. And the author says, go to Him, knowing that you'll be shamed and disgraced too. That's what verse 13 says. But it is so worth it. So worth it, because the city that you live in, whether it's ancient Rome or modern Adelaide, it's broken. And it will never last. There's only one city that lasts. It's the perfect city with God in it. So it makes sense, doesn't it, to be looking for that city that is to come, just as verse 14 says. And again, in the original language, the word used there, it's got this sense of seeking. We're seeking the city which is to come. Seeking the city which is to come. So are we? Are we seeking the city that is to come? I mean, it makes sense because one's wasting away in its brokenness and the other lasts forever with its perfection. So are we seeking this city? Where do we put most of our time and our resources and our effort? Does the way we use all of those things reflect us seeking the city that is to come? Or does it reflect the focus on where we are right now? See, like those original readers of this letter, it is far easier for all of us to focus here, within the values of our society, you know, inside our camp, you know, so to speak. Because it's so tangible. And also it's far easier. It's comfortable. It's actually not easy to step outside our camp. Because we'll look different. And we'll stand out. And that's not comfortable. We'll spend our time differently. We'll use our resources differently. And actually we'll conduct ourselves differently. In the things that we do, but also in the things that we don't do. It is worth asking. Do we look just like our neighbours? Or are we truly seeking the city that is to come? See, we must leave our camp and we must seek that city because that's where we find our true identity, our true meaning and our true purpose. And if our lives are given to the Lord Jesus seeking that city, then we read from verse 15 what that looks like. It's a life of thankfulness and sacrificial praise and loving action. Have a look at verse 15 with me. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Speaking his name openly and publicly. It's a sacrifice because it won't be comfortable. But we do it gladly. We do it gladly because we know where we're going to this existence of perfect love in perfect community with our perfect God who we love. And we want others to have that too. That's why our vision on these pull-up banners has always been that we want to be a church that's on about loving God, loving what he loves, loving people, and making disciples. Making disciples. That's why we keep saying that. Making disciples through the fruit of our lips. That's why we keep saying, let's pray every day for opportunities to invite people to church, to read the Bible with us. To come to the next life series, which starts on the 5th of May. If we pray for those things regularly, God will give us those opportunities. We just need to ask him. Because we want others to have what we have as we speak his name openly and publicly. You know, when you start, you know, dating someone or you have a child or someone in your family has a baby, you know, maybe a baby niece or a baby nephew. I mean, you feel something for those people, don't you? Of course you do. And it means that you talk about them, doesn't it? And I remember when I first met my wife, Bron, I should say, I still talk about her. But when I first met her, I remember talking incessantly about her to my family. Her name was constantly on my lips. And I remember them saying, look, she sounds really nice, Paul. And I think probably they just tuned out by that point, wanted me to change the subject. See, the one who sacrificed himself for us in that city that we seek, of course we love him. And so his name will be on our lips in a sacrifice of praise. And alongside that sacrifice of praise is the sacrifice of doing good and sharing, as it says in verse 16. That pleases God. Because it's the nature of his kingdom. It's the nature of the cross, which created this kingdom of self-sacrificial love in the first place. See, through the Lord Jesus, we're part of that. We're citizens of that place. So it makes sense to be what we are, to live like citizens of God's city rather than a citizen of our earthly city. I remember shopping at one of my favourite shops one time. I'm not going to mention which shop it is, but they sell these things there. So I'll leave that to your imagination. And I remember asking a staff member as I walked in where I could find one of these. And he said, "We don't sell them." And I said, "I'm pretty sure you do, because they're very common." And he said, "Well, I've been here for 2 years, and if we had them, definitely I'd know about them. Sorry, but we don't sell those things." Well, of course, after a couple of minutes of searching, I found them. And so while I very much like going to this shop, I do sometimes find it a little frustrating. Well, sometime after that, I was heading out to this shop again. And I pulled on an old youth group hoodie that I've got. And I remember thinking as I pulled it on, gee, I better make sure I don't let any frustration show as I'm doing my shopping. I better not look grumpy to anyone, because this jumper clearly says, I'm a Christian. Now, why did I think that? Just because I pulled on that jumper. Like, what I'm wearing makes no difference about who I am. Hebrews chapter 12 says, through faith, I'm already a citizen in God's kingdom. That's what I am always. It doesn't matter if I'm wearing my old youth group hoodie or my favourite Holden Monaro t-shirt. It doesn't matter. I should look like a citizen of that place, because that's what I actually am. But not driven to it by some sort of duty, but because I am so thankful. See, I can look at that hoodie and it's a reminder of what might, it's a reminder that might sort of drive me, you know, out of a duty or a guilt, at least for a while, but that's not empowering. It's not pleasant. And it's not what God intends. But the memory of Jesus, his love to me on the cross, the absolute certainty of that city that he brings me to forever, the assurance and the gratitude of that. I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, that thought is beautiful. And that will empower me every day of my life. If I think of that as I walk through the doors of that shop, I don't need that hoodie. I'll be empowered to live out exactly who I am. And that's to live out what's written in the first few verses of chapter 13. Have a look from verse 1 with me. Describes what it means to live now as citizens of a city of love. Loving one another as family, as verse 1 says. And we do that every Sunday. We do that in lots of ways, big and small. A little way to do that is if there is someone here you don't know, to take the opportunity to introduce yourself. You know, because family members need to know who each other are. It describes loving strangers by extending hospitality, verse 2. And back in the first century, it was quite dangerous to travel. Inns weren't particularly safe. So actually, you could show great love to people by being hospitable. And it says some even have had angels stay with them. Maybe a supernatural being. Maybe it just means someone with a message from God. Either way, significant. But that's not the motivation. The motivation is love, angels or not. Now, I don't know about the suburb you live in mine, we don't get many people travelling through looking for a place to stay. But whether it's a meal for your next door neighbour or the quiet word with the homeless person on the street or helping the single mum at school drop off, there's lots of ways to show the love of God's kingdom to strangers. And verse 3 describes showing love by supporting prisoners and those that have been mistreated for their faith. You know, it would be easy to ignore the shame of them, avoid the persecution yourself, but we are one family and one body in Christ, so the brother and sisterly love doesn't stop when someone's victimized. Perhaps the most obvious way for us to demonstrate that sort of love is supporting the persecuted church overseas, little bit like our CMS Link missionary Kay when she was here a couple of weeks ago. But it's also looking out for each other here. We're not imprisoned here yet for faith, but there's other ways of being ill-treated, and we do need each other when that happens. Describes loving faithfully in marriage, verse 4. Just as Jesus faithfully loves us into his city. You know, marriage is not always going to be about feelings of love, but it's always about acting in love, the way you promised on your wedding day, loving actions. And those actions do lead to those feelings of love. See, these are all the right ways to love that gets described in these first few verses. They reflect the right order of things that Jesus puts back into place. But it's also possible to misplace love and to love in the wrong way. And the author of Hebrews highlights two of those. Firstly, sexual desire. It's very powerful. And loving that to the point that it displaces Jesus, that is so dangerous. Says that in verse 4, sexual sin will lead you away from God. See, sin, it's got to be given over to God in prayer for his forgiveness. And there isn't anything that you can't be forgiven for through faith. But what we see here is that if you do fall into sexual sin in any of its forms, please bring it out to the light. Give it to the Lord. Seek help. You can talk to me or talk to Dave at any time. Just don't be led away from God and his city by a misplaced love like that. In the same way, the author talks in verse 5 about a love of money. Because it's so tempting, isn't it? It's like liquid power money, because it appears to get you whatever you want. Projects this sense of security. But both of them are false. It never leads to complete contentment. And anyway, it can leave as soon as it comes. You just ask anyone who's got shares in the US stock market right now. But the memory of Jesus, his love to me on the cross, it's wonderful. Like that thought, it's beautiful. And it's done. It can't be undone. So he'll never leave me and never forsake me. There's great contentment in that. And great certainty that he brings me to his city forever. So it means I don't need to fear anything human. If I die, I go to be with him in his city. And that's far better. See, if we believe that, no one can ever hurt us. Just as verse 6 explains, you can't hurt somebody who knows that to die is gain. Like I said at the beginning, it's true freedom to serve the Lord in his kingdom. To be exactly who we were meant to be, existing with each other perfectly, serving with a perfect love, in perfect community with our perfect God. And God has given examples to us to guide us. He gives us Jesus, of course, as verse 8 says, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, nor does his promise. We have our past church leaders, verse 7, and our current church leaders, verse 17. The author says we can look to them as examples of what it means to live as citizens of God's city. Not blindly accepting them, though. Notice verse 7. Not blindly accepting them. We must be discerning always. Always. But by ensuring that the word of God spoken by your church leaders is matching in conduct, well, then we have role models for living out faith. A faith that brings us to God and makes us part of God's city. It gives us direction and meaning, and real purpose. Serving now in God's unshakable kingdom, which will never change, never let us down. That's true freedom. Looking forward to existing with each other perfectly, in perfect love, in perfect community, and in relationship with our perfect God. No wonder we live for the Lord with confidence, saying, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Please equip us all with everything good for doing your will, and may you work in us what is pleasing to you. Through Jesus Christ we pray, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.